Sweet Bill Farmer, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living, just to send it on down the line. Hello, West Virginia.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Monday morning. We do appreciate it. Come up tomorrow, Dan Gaynor from the Media Research Center, and a number of guests to be named later, as I have not booked them yet, but I will. And as always, you can check out my Twitter page, twitter.com/Jeff_Poor. About 8 o'clock or so, sometime in the 8 o'clock hour, I post a guest list if you want to know who's coming up on the program. Joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest, becoming a regular, and we're very thrilled about that, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. Governor Ainsworth, good morning. How are you?
Oh, doing great. How are you doing this morning, Jeff? Good to be on.
Doing well. Thank you for making time, as always. We're very, very appreciative of that. I wanted to get you on. We've heard from a lot of different people about Biden's new COVID-19 policies, whatever you want to make of it, but unconstitutional, is the way some are describing it, vaccine mandate, trying to impose his will on what I think would be normally powers that are held by the state, but he's going around that, and want to get your reaction to it.
Yeah, I totally disagree with it. I think it was strictly a political move by him to deflect from Afghanistan with 9/11 coming up and his distractions. I mean, just his obviously lack of leadership in Afghanistan and just, just the mess there. I think his whole thing he was planning to do was just distract. And what better way than to come out of something as outrageous as the mandate? And I think he tried to change the conversation. I don't know necessarily if it worked or not, but it certainly, that looked to me just like one of the oldest tricks in politics, is to try to change the conversation when you've done something foolish. I think that's what he was trying to do.
Well, and it's interesting. I think they would even acknowledge that Afghanistan's not a winner. They may say otherwise, but you could just tell by what the Biden administration does that they know that now it's a liability. But this seems to be something to me like a flashbang, that even if you were to, he says he's going to do it, but you know, knowing a lot about how government works, they don't just tomorrow. We're not going to, you know, walk in with a new form we got to fill out about our vaccination status at our workplaces. It takes, you know, sometimes years to get these policies instituted, that at the earliest, maybe it's next year sometime. Then it does just seem like he's just playing politics with a very deadly pandemic.
Yeah, no, I think certainly that's what he was doing. That was his intent. And I think this thing will get struck down. I mean, I've even seen, you know, people that are normal on his side, labor unions, right, that are filing suit to try to stop this. And so I think he overstepped his boundary of his power, and I don't think this will hold up in court. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, states and individuals and businesses ought to be able to decide what's best for them, certainly not the president on something like this. And so, but again, you got to ask, why did he do this? And I think the reason he did this is to try to change the conversation before 9/11. Because of his disastrous leadership and, unfortunately, you know, the lives that he cost us in Afghanistan. And so I think that's all it is. And but I think I'm encouraged by, you know, people pushing back and fighting, and I don't think this will hold up.
And pushing back, that's the signal we're getting from Governor Ivey and her administration. But the state of Alabama, be it either through the executive branch or maybe even the legislative branch, has got to push back against the federal government here, right?
Yeah, I think there's several ways to do that. Obviously, you know, through statute, I think through lawsuits, and I imagine our attorney general will, haven't had a chance to talk to him yet, but plan on doing that, will be involved in, you know, several lawsuits. And, you know, I can tell you this, I think businesses are worried. I've had several business owners that have reached out to me, and so I don't think the question is whether or not we act. I think it's, you know, how we act and how we push back on this, because people of Alabama certainly don't agree or stand for this. I think at the end of the day, this should be a decision, you know, for somebody and their doctor, certainly not, you know, the president to decide this. And so I think that is, you know, what we're going to go for in Alabama. I think it's the right thing. But I think, you know, certainly can tell you, and had a lot of business owners, small and large, that have been concerned about this.
And let's hit on that point because, you know, I've traveled the state somewhat in the last couple of months, and, you know, you see this everywhere. There seems to be a real shortage of labor in a lot of different sectors. We have supply chain disruptions. We have, you know, the service industry, the hospitality industry are having a hard time staying staffed. And you just throw another obligation or regulation into the mix, and that's gonna threaten the economy here locally, I think, even more than people want to acknowledge.
Yeah, I think, and you know, I think unfortunately the Biden administration was able to raise the minimum wage without doing that through giving so much money into the economy. Still, right now, I think through some of the COVID stuff, you can get money based on the number of kids you've got, on top of just normal income you can get from just staying at home. And I think the problem with that is it's encouraging people not to work. And when you get people that haven't worked, you know, I think it's, if I remember right, it's 30 or 45 days to get a half. I forget the exact number. It might have been less than that. But, you know, and we've got people that are used to not working because they've been out for a year plus, right, staying at home, getting money. And so to your point about, you know, the workforce is suffering. And when you started throwing in mandates like this, and people have a real problem with it. Some people do. You know, I got the vaccine, you know, but thought it was the right thing to do. But there's a lot of people that have a different opinion than me on that. And so I'm really afraid of what this is going to do to the economy and to the workforce, because I think there'll be some people that I'm not doing it and will even not work or go work somewhere else. And so, you know, that's certainly something that I think, you know, obviously President Biden didn't think through. And it's frustrating because I think when you look at what's made America great, it's people working and the fact that, you know, you can actually go out and make what you wanted yourself. And I know there's a lot of people, even in, you know, in the medical field, right? And nurses, for instance, I know nurses that I've talked to personally that our kids have played sports with that have not been vaccinated, but yet they've been working in that environment for several years and haven't had COVID. And so they're certainly doing what they need to protect themselves. But I think at the end of the day, it boils down to each individual should decide what's best for his or her health and consult with their doctor and do what's best, and shouldn't be a president mandating this. And I think it was a huge distraction, and he knew that, and that's why he decided to do this.
Joined by Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth here on the program. Governor, you're making an interesting point there that this is a way to increase the minimum wage by throwing all these government benefits out there. Now you have businesses that have to compete with the federal government for labor, where they disincentivize work. So now they have to pay a lot more to get people to come to work, and that in itself is a kind of a too clever by halfway to raise wages. But you know, that to me doesn't seem like it's going to be something that would be long. That doesn't seem like a very good long lasting approach.
Yeah, no, I think certainly not, but I can tell you, you know, short term, I mean, you know, the thing that people, I mean, you certainly understand, I think most of your listeners do, but when you look at, okay, everybody's like, oh, let's raise minimum wage. Well, guess what? You know, all these, you know, cost of goods are going up. The cost of everything will go up if you do that. It's just going to get passed down. And so I think at the end of the day, we've got to get students trained for 21st century jobs. We've got to encourage people to go out and whatever gifts they have, whatever ability they have to go out and be successful there. And that's how you're successful. I mean, but at the end of the day, I mean, they've been successful, the Biden administration, and raising the wage, I'd say just in Alabama from talking to people, probably $4, $5, $6, right? I mean, just to even get people to show up to work because of the benefits they can get from government staying at home. And that's problematic and certainly a short-term strategy. And I think one that's, you know, going to hurt our country because, you know, when you get, you know, people that are used to, and I think it's millions now, you know, that are just used to not working, that were in the workforce and are not participating, it's a big problem.
I mean, does that become long-term problematic that, and here's the thing, when you start raising these wages and then the federal money goes away, it's not like they're going to, would businesses necessarily lower their wages? Or, I mean, like this throws a lot of different problems into an economy that I think right now, even though there's labor shortages, it just still seems very fragile, particularly given the pandemic.
No, it is. It's hard to get people to work. I mean, the number one limiting factor to growth I hear from people all over is, you know, well, if I can get more people, I can grow my business. And when you throw in this vaccine mandate, well, look, there's some counties in our state that 25% of the people are vaccinated. I mean, you know, that's obviously, we want them to get vaccinated. We want to encourage them, you know, to talk to their doctor and do it. But I mean, when you look at that three quarters, right, are not vaccinated, and then there's going to be this mandate, I'm just telling you, it's going to be a problem. And so, you know, I think the best thing to do is educate people, not try to force things. And that's what we're going to continue to do in Alabama. I'm encouraged that, you know, I think it's 51-52% of Alabamians have, you know, got their first shot in the vaccination. And so I think people, through education and talking with their doctor, talking to medical professionals, are realizing, hey, the vaccine is working. But, and President Biden's approach to this is wrong and certainly going to hurt a lot of people.
Well, and we talked about the politics and maybe what the motivations were of the Biden administration, but if the objective indeed is to get people vaccinated, that you want to get that number up, it seems to me the better approach ought to be this, that we used our art of persuasion and not shame, but part of that persuasive process is not putting so much politics into it and making it seem like it's a team sport. But the Biden administration, or Joe Biden himself, talking about, you know, first off, it's not about freedom. That introduces an ideological component. And then he mentions how he's going to, you know, use his power to challenge governors that stand in his way. I mean, that makes it political, and that makes it, I think it's going to make it a lot more difficult to convince people to go out and get vaccinated.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I got to tip my hat to Governor Ivey. I thought she did a great job, and I liked her line, how she was going to, you know, stand up for Alabama like a bull. So, and I'll certainly be standing there with her and pushing back, and we're going to fight back. But, you know, certainly poor leadership on President Biden's part, and he's not going to be effective at what he's doing. And again, I think just another example of how his legacy as president will probably be defined as the worst president in my lifetime.
Well, do you think there's a way to divorce the politics from the subject? That, you know, I think you're not alone when you say that it's probably the right thing to do to go out and get vaccinated, but you want to make sure people have that choice and they make decisions based on the information they have out there. Well, it seems like part of that would be, look, what Joe Biden's a clown and he's saying all this stuff, but you really need to take this into consideration. Is there a way to divorce the politics from the subject?
I think there is. I think at the end of the day, I mean, you know, we need to look at science and what's the best decision and talk to your doctor and decide what's best for you. And it shouldn't be political at all. This is about public health and about, you know, a pandemic. And it shouldn't be a Republican or Democrat issue. It should be a, you know, what does the data say? What does the science say? And how can, you know, we protect people? And so, you know, I've trusted the science and got the vaccine and had COVID before. And so, you know, if you read all the data and science out there, if you had COVID plus you.
Up, oh, did we lose you? There we go.
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay. Yeah, man, I think the fact that I had COVID plus got the vaccine, if you believe the data and science, you know, I should be one of the most protected people out there, which, you know, might explain why I haven't got it again. But I think, certainly to your point, it shouldn't be political, and we've got to do a better job of making it that. What I've tried to do is just educate people based on facts and data and not turn this into a political thing. But when you have a president trying to ram things down your throat, it's going to make people push back.
Yes, it's he doesn't realize that it's making your job as a, you know, a opinion leader or opinion maker more difficult if indeed you're trying to get that vaccination rate up for the good of the state.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And like I said, we're making progress. You know, I think we were obviously, you know, one of the last in the country, but what I saw, we jumped over seven or eight states. with our vaccination rate, and it's, you know, just educating people. I mean, guys like Charles Barkley going into communities and talking about, you know, hey, we need to get it. And, I mean, that's the way you do it. You educate people and, you know, convince them on why it's the right thing to do instead of just trying to run over them. And, you know, people in Alabama are not going to be run over. That's just not going to happen.
It comes off this way, and we'll wrap it up on this, but it comes off as, look, you're too stupid to do critical thinking. Let us do it for you. You ignorant rubes down south, go out and get the vaccine, listen to the experts. And they talk to the people. This is really awful, but they talk to us like we're children, and we need you know, government's replaced the parental role in some people's lives, I suppose. But that condescension doesn't really, for a lot of people, it turns people away from it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, certainly. I think when you look at Alabamians, they're not going to put up with that, and they're going to push back, and it's going to do the opposite effect. Whereas we were making tremendous ground and gaining, you know, with people getting the vaccine, we're going to continue to do that. But in Alabama, it's got to be based on, I know the people here, it's got to be based on educating people and explaining to them why it's the right thing to do, not trying to force them.
Yeah, and just talking to them like they're adults. Governor, we gotta let you go here. We're out of time, but we appreciate it, and hopefully we can get you on again soon.
Yeah, hey, thank you. Have a great day.
Do the same. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth there on the line. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of...